At 5:10, time to get to Archie's and grab their 80-cent wings. So as you drive home, when it rains, it pours kind of news for the Steelers, who are already down in the dumps because of how last week went against the Bengals. T.J. Watt to start the week, and now to end it, Cam Hayward sick and unclear. Jerry Dulac, Post-Gazette, says Steelers are concerned he's not going to be able to play on Sunday. So you're down your best corner, your best pass rusher, your best player, period, in Watt, and an all-pro defensive lineman, potentially, which would mean all three of your starting defensive linemen, the guys you thought who would be up front controlling the line of scrimmage, could be out for your first matchup with your arch rival when you really, really need a win at 5-5-1, Chris.
Yes, but that's okay. Montrevious Adams is here. I mean, do you really, in your heart of hearts, do you believe that even if Hayward and Watt were healthy, this would be a particularly winnable game?
Well, I think the Ravens' offense is kind of broken right now. I think it's pretty close to broken.
What are the Steelers, though? They're on either side of the ball.
The Ravens are averaging a touchdown a game offensively in their last four games. I mean, they are not getting the job done.
I know they're not the vintage Baltimore Ravens.
They got octogenarians running the ball.
They got Lamar Jackson. They got Lamar Jackson running the ball.
Yeah, but he looks as a passer like he's messed up right now. He's got seven picks in his last three games. So they're ripe for the picking. If you had close to your full strength, full health defense, I would feel pretty good about them matched up with the Ravens' offense in this game. Now, the other matchup, the Steelers' offense against the Ravens' defense.
Well, they should be ripe for the picking, too. They can't defend the pass,
right,
except the Steelers can't really pass the ball with any consistency.
I think my best argument for the Steelers to win this game is that this rivalry can sometimes bring out the best in them. It's actually gone cut both ways, I guess. Like last year, this game at Heinz Field, we all looked at it. What did Stephon Tuitt call it? A stat padding game?
Yeah, if you think the Steelers are in bad shape right now, the Ravens were in worse shape last year.
They had a dozen guys in COVID protocol. Lamar Jackson didn't play. J.K. Dobbins, Mark Ingram were both out.
They threw a pick six very early, and then the game almost turned and went their way.
They had RG3, who's now getting ready to call Pitt Wake Forest for ABC tomorrow night at quarterback. I mean, that did not look like it was going to be – that looked like they were bringing a knife to a gunfight. The Steelers were undefeated. That was the turning point of the season for the Steelers. They found a way to win that game, but they lost Bud Dupree – and they looked, they weren't perfect in getting to 11-0, even though the record suggested it. But it really looked like the Ravens put together the blueprint.
Here's how you beat these guys.
Yeah.
They're not so bad.
Stole that defensive game plan and beat them the next week with Alex Smith on
and
one
then,
leg.
Then the horses were out of the barn,
yep,
as they say.
So I think that's the way I would look at this game. Don't let the Ravens' record fool you. They're a very vulnerable team. There have been one-sided matchups in this rivalry over the years where one team looked like the clear-cut favorite and the other team actually hung around and put up a fight for 60 minutes or actually won the game. I was at the game in Baltimore where Ryan Mallett beat the Steelers and Pittsburgh had everything to play for and the Ravens were ticketed for a third-place finish. I think the only reason why they weren't last is because the Browns, but they were a terrible football team with a terrible quarterback, and on that day, they were better than the Steelers.
I mean, I seem to remember
the Charlie Batch game is
another
one. Yeah,
I was going to say, I seem to remember a pretty memorable game where Charlie Batch was, like, overcome with emotion, and they kicked a last-second field goal from Sweezy to beat the Ravens. I mean, there's weird stuff that happens in these games sometimes. I will concede that point. But a preponderance of the evidence here makes it feel like this is it. You know what I mean? Like, all these things that are happening to the Steelers right now, they can't get guys healthy, guys are getting sick. It just feels overall, and on the heels of the beatdown they just suffered, like, everything's circling the drain.
But I just wonder if the Ravens...
There's a vibe to this game.
I don't disagree with you on that. That's why...
Also, the you know what else? You know what else I hate here is saying because the Ravens looked bad, and granted, they've looked real bad at times this year in games they've won. They needed a 66-yard field goal to beat the Lions. I think good teams that get to 8-3 like they have, skin of their teeth, tend to figure things out eventually on one level or another. Just because they were bad against the Browns doesn't mean they're going to be that bad against the Steelers.
Yeah, but it wasn't just a one-game thing for them, Chris. It wasn't a one-off for the Ravens offense.
You want to know what's the hidden thing about the Browns, though? That's a very good defense still. Way better than what the Steelers are putting out on the field right now. Clowney, Garrett, couple guys that are highly regarded cover guys like Denzel Ward. That is Owusu-Koramoah is a better player than anybody the Steelers have thrown back there at linebacker. God, I'd kill to have him on the Steelers roster.
All right, but how about this? How many star players do the Dolphins have on defense? How many bona fide all pros? This is a great player do the Dolphins have? Any?
Maybe not any.
So they went into that game against Miami and they just had a great game plan.
I mean, Xavier Howard.
They corner blitzed. All right, well, they have Xavier Howard. The Steelers have Minkah Fitzpatrick. I know they don't play the same position, but it's like one for one. They blitz the crap out of them with their defensive backs.
No, I know. There's a blueprint now. Zero blitzes with your defensive backs.
So, like, honestly, in this game, are you – like, when the Browns came in here for the playoff game and Baker Mayfield had introduced himself to the offensive lineman in the huddle, do you know who these defensive linemen are if Hayward is actually out for this game? No, one of them is in the same situation. This guy who came over from the Saints practice squad who looks like he's going to play a ton. But it's kind of incumbent on Mike Tomlin as this defensive mastermind to like, hey, you know what the Ravens aren't good at and what makes their quarterback sweat. Do that in this game. And if you get beat that way, he was pissed at himself because he didn't get aggressive against the Chargers. And he felt afterwards like they lost that game in part.
So basically, what's his game plan here? We have none of our players we'd normally have. We're going to go out on our shield and zero blitz the crap out of them.
I think that's what it's got to be.
I'll say this much. I would respect him more if he said, I don't care if they figure this out and it gets us down 21-0 early and we're basically dead in the water. This is the only chance we've got. The one thing the Browns had going for them in that game was they still had Treader healthy, I think, who was kind of the coach on the field. And in an offensive line, you really are working, I think, more cohesively than a defensive line does, maybe. And the Steelers might not have their version of Treader, which is Hayward.
But they've got Minkah, who's the guy that's watching it all from the back end. I would just think...
Yeah, emphasis on watching. Hey, Minkah, stay away there. If that guy Jackson breaks through to the third level, you have to tackle him.
The one thing that they've been able to do in the two games they've played against Lamar Jackson is they've hit him a lot. Mm-hmm. Jackson has done a really good job overall, even though he runs the ball a ton, he does a very good job of avoiding hits. Mm-hmm. But for whatever reason against the Steelers, they've done a much better job of like making him pay for the times that he takes off. And I did feel like when they went down to Baltimore and beat him last year, that it was a psychological thing. He threw a ball right at Robert Spillane.
Which is hard to do.
Yes. He made a terrible decision to throw it to Alex Highsmith to start the second half. Like, it seemed like the Steelers were undefeated, but like the test of playing them got to him on some kind of mental level.
I mean, and pivotal fourth down in that game where he came up short, it's a play where probably 9 times out of 10
Who made that play? Bugsy.
That was a Bugsy play.
Didn't Isaiah Bugs make that play?
Bugs made that play, football guy.
I think that was
Football guy's hard at work in there.
He is.
I don't know what he's got doing. He's these big red headphones. But no, Bugsy made that play, but that was a play Lamar Jackson probably converts how many times out of 10?
And I don't think the Steelers look like they're going to they have the type of people to intimidate Jackson and get in his head and that kind of thing. I don't think the uniforms will. I don't know if the atmosphere at Heinz Field necessarily will either.
There's no there's no tough guy Steelers identity here to lean on.
But he's coming into this game as a passer in a slump. And that's the one thing. He's either running into the pitcher who the Pirates would throw out there, like a Jeff Locke, who's just going to groove pitches down the middle, and it's such a bad pitcher that it gets a hitter out of a slump because it's just batting practice fastballs. Or he's legitimately got something going on right now where he's thinking about the contract, and he's trying to play for $200 million, yes?
Why? be all that as it may, why on earth would John Harbaugh, whose main order of business is to win games here, why would he not take one look at the 31st ranked run defense in the league in terms of yards per carry allowed? That is even more shorthanded and just say, hey, Lamar, we're doing all the cool stuff we used to do. You know, Greg Roman says this. Hey, Lamar, I know it's been tough passing. We're only going to put you in situations.
Well, the Baltimore people think that offensive coordinator sucks.
Yeah, we had
Rob Long
on. We had
on.
Rob, I don't know why I'd call him Ron, but yes, we had Rob Long on from 105.7 there, and he said he thinks he should be a run game coordinator only. That's all you need in this game. Hey, Lamar, the few times we do pass it, it'll be a comical mismatch that you can exploit. Otherwise, they can't defend the run in best of times. We're going to run for 300 yards on these guys. Why would you not just do that if you were them? I don't, you know, we've talked about how he's the only guy on that roster that can like run the football. I think this is a game for all their geriatric running backs to go off. Who's on the Steelers that's going to stop them? Who looks capable in that front seven right now if Hayward doesn't play and stopping them? Alex Highsmith? That's it.
And I could say back, well, that's kind of playing into the Steelers' hands. You want to take the ball out of an electric MVP's hands and give it to some washed-up running back. But then I think about the second half against the Seahawks with a guy named Alex Collins, who's a former Ravens running back.
Wasn't there another guy in that team?
And the Lions having like a former converted safety.
Godwin Igwabuke.
Like, I mean, Herbert almost rushed for 100 yards. It doesn't seem to have mattered against the Steelers lately, and that was with Cam Hayward out there, and now his status for this game very much in doubt.
This just feels like it has the potential, even with the Ravens looking not maybe like a true 8-3 number one seed, it feels like it has the potential. And this is the other thing I don't think you've mentioned, really. In this rivalry, weird stuff happens, but teams, if they have a chance to put a foot on the throat in one of these games, like if somebody's down, absolutely take it. There have been some routes, 38-7, 35-7. Teams have... One of the first Steelers-Ravens games, maybe the first one I ever went to, the Steelers won like 37-0 in primetime. If they have a chance...
Didn't Ben have 5 touchdown passes in the first half?
Yeah, he had that in one game too, exactly. But my point is, if the Ravens smell blood...
Oh, Harbaugh will take it,
My point is, this isn't going to be the Detroit Lions who aren't good enough to like put away the Steelers. If the Ravens think they can kick the Steelers when they're down, Harbaugh will kick them.
Texas on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line. All right, so Jim Colony was at Steelers practice today. He'll give us a true handle on what's going on with Hayward. It seems like there's like a massive fight going on behind the scenes among Steelers media regarding how this Hayward thing was handled today.
Did someone say media fight?
Yes.
That looks like a job for me.
Headline time, Donnie.
Now, fan headlines, powered by Bowser. Wishing you and your families a safe, healthy, and happy holiday season.
We have a special pit broadcast coming up at 6 o'clock. Doran Dickerson and Paul Zeiss are live at the ACC Championship Games Fan Fest in Charlotte. That's from 6 to 7:30 tonight. And then after that, Pitt Hoops. They start the ACC conference season in Virginia to play the Cavaliers at 8 o'clock. For more, go to 93.7thefan.com. Right now, Andrew Filippone for America's number one sportsbook, the FanDuel Sportsbook. And they have, in honor of the biggest game of this week, they have a huge odds boost to tell you about. It's Buffalo and New England. Monday night, we'll have the game for you here on The Fan. When you sign up and make your first bet on FanDuel, they are going to give you a $5 bet that you can turn into $150. That's right, 30-1 odds, and you just have to pick a winner in this game. Buffalo right now, it is in Orchard Park. They are a 2.5-point favorite against a red-hot New England team that's undefeated on the road this year. You want to turn $5 into $150? Pick a winner of this game on FanDuel with my code Andrew. That's code Andrew on the FanDuel Sportsbook to get this bet today exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. 21 plus and present in PA. New users only. $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designated offer market. Max bonus 150. Restrictions apply. See full terms. Sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem. Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Shorkey North Hills Mitsubishi. What? Yeah, I said Shorkey North Hills Mitsubishi. No worries. I'm not going to do it again like I did earlier in the show today. We're not going to say what 18 times here. I'm going to tell you what's what, though, with Shorkey North Hills Mitsubishi. You want to go somewhere where you're going to get treated right when you're buying a car. Why? It's a big purchase. It's a big deal to you, right? that's what they do for a living, but this is like a once in every how many every years thing, right? So this is something important, and you want it to be treated that way. It will be. Customer service, top notch. Mike Engel, the general manager, a guy I love working with. Why? Talks the talk and then walks the walk. But he and his team are also all about their customers and the community that they're in. And that's why they care, okay? A lot of words that begin with C right there. Care, customer, community. They know that when you go in and you have a great experience, you're going to tell somebody else. And that's what it's all about. You know what else it's all about? Great deals on vehicles like Outlander, Outlander Sport, Mirage, Eclipse Cross, and great trade-in values for you right now. You want to get paid big-time value for that car in your driveway, and then you want to get a slick new Mitsubishi? Because they got the inventory. Not everybody does. One thing you got to do, check them out right next to Ross Park Mall, Shorkey North Hills Mitsubishi online, jimshorkeynorthhillsmitsubishi.com.
Your local Nissan dealers presents The Morning After, or The Morning After on 90.
All right, Friday tailgate rolls on. We're trying to pump ourselves up for Steelers-Ravens. Brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, Pittsburgh's premier craft beer destination, over 500 beers.
Hold on. Donnie and I just shared a moment there through the glass.
Yeah.
I tried. If you were watching on the 93.7 The Fan live video feed, I literally tried to put my headphones on, and they have like a little tension in them, right, like any headphones, and hit myself in the mouth with a headphone, immediately fattening my lip, and I look around to see, hey, did anybody see that? And there's Donnie smirking at me through the glass.
I have a chocolate stout from Hop Farm Brewing Company. It's a Pittsburgh brewer.
I have Party on Fifth. It is a New England-style double IPA, so that's a little hazy boy. And it is from Kushwa Brewing Company in collaboration with Dancing Gnome.
This is a 13%er I've got in my hand.
Woo-hoo!
Listen to this description. Western Pennsylvania's premier chocolate shop, Mon Ami. Okay.
Yeah.
Single origin Peruvian Covature chocolate with a sprinkle of Mediterranean sea salt with a kiss of Madagascar vanilla. This is a beer.
A kiss? Did Bill Raftery design this bad boy?
Stout that I'm putting in our 93.7 The Fan leather koozies.
Ba-ba-ba.
You know who's a huge koozie guy? Colony.
Oh, yeah.
Who's with us right
now. You know what Colony does with the koozies, by the way, that I really respect a lot? He still has the koozie from mine and Alex's wedding and still drinks using it.
He'll use a koozie for a plastic bottle.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
I just never think to do it.
Hey.
Jim?
Yeah.
Do you have a drink with a koozie right now?
As a matter of fact, I do.
Oh, let's go.
It's an Outer Banks. It's an Outer Banks koozie with an American flag, with the stars where the stars would be, and then the stripes are made up of fish, including sharks.
Thank you.
Do you have a koozie drawer?
What's that?
Do you have a koozie drawer? Is there like a place?
No, but we have a. I could actually send you a photo. We have a. Linda has a. The Chris and Alex koozies are in there, where. It's just a collection of koozies from over the years. But the thing is, Linda's more of a koozie person than I am, and it's pretty much everywhere we go, she buys a koozie.
I respect that, though.
Some people do shot glasses.
Well, yeah, they're like a little...
He does a very convenient,
useful little souvenir type thing. We do pint glasses, which tend, when we go to breweries, they tend to pile up very quickly, and you have too many of them.
Jim, so... Is Cam Hayward going to play on Sunday? What do we know about his situation?
Well, yeah, as you know, although I know Donnie has his finger on the button, that he did not participate in practice. That is not a violation because that was on the injury report.
Okay.
Neither did Isaiah Loudermilk, and both were designated excuse me, as illness.
Oh, no, Jim. Wait, do we have to worry about you here for a second?
No, I just coughed.
Okay.
So apparently like Zach Banner did the last couple of days. But this is 2021, which, crap, it's almost 2022. This is still an extension of 2020 where anytime, and we all feel this way, it's like if all of a sudden you've got the sniffles or your throat feels a little tickly, you're thinking, okay, do I have it? And yet, at the same time, it might be just a regular, good old-fashioned cold, like we used to get all the time. But I know we've got a stockpile of various quills, whether it's day or nigh, in our medicine cabinet that we bought probably a year and a half ago that we haven't even cracked because we haven't needed them. So I don't know.
But if it's bad enough to keep him out of practice, like even if it's not just for precaution, we want to make sure he doesn't have COVID. If he's sick enough that it kept him out, that kind of makes me a little bit uneasy, Jim, about his next couple days here.
Well, Chris, I would submit that it's precautionary. Okay. This is the only thing I can, like, if something like this happens, okay, that you've got to be, you have to be careful. If Zach Banner, okay, if the Zach Banner thing, and he was a full practice today. You can read it on the injury report.
Man, so you were really back. Sensitive about Donnie just blowing you up
today
with the siren.
Today is letter of the law, Jim.
Holy Moses.
He's on his P's and Q's with Steelers practice. Man.
I want to give him every opportunity to just jump the gun with that thing. But if it wasn't for Zach Banner, who was held out, like, in other words, if he had gone from illness to COVID protocol, then it would be one way of looking at this. But it looks like, okay, there's a cold going around.
I think you can infer right now that he tested negative. I think you can infer that Hayward did not test positive.
Would they have had to say something by now if he did test positive, Jim?
Let me throw another scenario, and I do not know this to be the case. And honest, I don't know the complete inner workings of the protocol, but I'm just going to say, let's just say that a player, and not Cam Hayward, but if a player gets a positive COVID test, but doesn't show any symptoms, then aren't you going to retest that player as soon as possible to see if that was a false positive?
Yes,
And so that's an instance where, okay, you got to hold the guy out just in case, and then, you know, we can see what happens, say, as of tomorrow. Now, if it's the same thing that Zach Banner had, then he'll play on Sunday. You know, there's no question. So I don't want to overreact to this, but it's, you know, I called him, and actually I guess I probably committed some sort of a violation in the web story that I
filed.
That's
another Jim Colony practice report violation.
Where I referred to Hayward as questionable, and that's questionable as in my, you know, like our universal questionable as opposed to the official NFL designation.
Okay, so that's another thing here that our listeners might not know about but is worth bringing into the conversation. The Ravens have players that are not COVID positive but are sick, and they are listed as technically questionable. Marlon Humphrey, their number one corner who punched the ball out on Juju a couple of years ago, he is questionable, designated questionable, sick. Cam Hayward, not on the injury report, which led Chris Adamski to say that Hayward's on track to play Sunday.
Well, no, he is on the injury, unless the injury report changed. He's on it.
He's on the practice report. He is not listed as.
It's a matter of semantics. To me, the practice report, the injury report are the same thing. I guess I should technically say practice report, which I think I said.
But the Ravens are putting these guys on the injury report is what I'm trying to tell you. They're saying that Humphrey is 50-50 to play because he's sick. Exactly.
Cam Hayward not on the report.
I'm considering. I don't care whatever technical desk. Because go ahead, Donnie. Get the thing ready to go. I mean, I have witnessed things at practice and then seen what the designation is on the injury report, and it's not the same thing that I saw.
Why not? Close enough. We like the sounder. It's Friday.
Okay, right. And I kind of went out of my way to make sure
you could use
that again. But to me, it's like, look, if a guy doesn't practice on Friday, to me, by definition, that makes him questionable, you know, not doubtful. I mean, doubtful is another designation, you know, whereas I'm going to use Bugs, like Isaiah Bugs, who was limited yesterday. I think his is an ankle. And then, you know, he all of a sudden today he didn't practice.
Now he's out.
Designated as out.
Yep.
So that, you know, there are different things. It's a lot of, and you guys remember, and everybody remembers. I mean, how many years ago was
Pepperidge Farm remembers?
Listed 50
Sorry,
guys
Jim.
Is questionable just because he was mad at the league.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when betting wasn't even involved with the league officially. So I don't know, but the larger point is that is that, remember our good friend Brian Burke, who talked about, you know, going into a gunfight with a knife. I mean, I don't know even what you're going into this a gunfight with nothing. If you don't have Watt, you don't have Hayward, you don't have Hayden, and you know that Hayden's not going to play. Watt, however, we don't know because of the mystery of the COVID protocol. He could show up like Ben did before, you know, the day before the game in L.A. And so there's a chance that T.J. Watt could play, but we can't speculate because Mike Tomlin doesn't have to. Because I asked him about Watt if he was symptomatic or not, and Tomlin said, "Well, I don't know. He's on COVID. That's all I can tell you." Because he can do that, and so there's a chance that Watt could play. But I mean
we'll
know
that tomorrow.
Scenario,
though. 4 o'clock's the deadline for Watt tomorrow.
Yeah, we're going to know that tomorrow, Jim. We will have
right,
some.
But no, but I'm just
notice.
Saying that as we speak, 23 hours in advance of that the nuclear scenario here is that they don't have Watt, they don't have Hayward, they don't have Hayden. My God,
Jim, what happened to Hayden when you were with Tomlin on Tuesday? He made it sound when he went through his injuries, hey, I think this guy is on the way back. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to play. And then he never got close to playing this week.
No. Something, I wasn't there on Wednesday. And again, I can't tell you what I see. But Hayden, I don't know if something happened or not. I do remember seeing him last week, one of the days, and the only day I was there actually was Wednesday. So I do remember seeing him. But I don't, you know, with a foot injury, that is so tricky.
Well, then I don't know why Tomlin keeps saying every week he's going to play. This is now twice in a row he's done that.
Is he trying to will it into existence, basically?
I don't know. Maybe something did happen during in the trainer's room or he's out there. You know, it's like, and I'm sure the Steelers do this, even though we're not there to see it. You know, it's the same way where you got like Evgeny Malkin coming back from an injury and he's on the ice before everybody else. And so I'm guessing that part of a rehab process or part of a getting ready to play process is get out on the field and run. And maybe they just ascertain that, man, we don't want to sit there and take a chance on this because, I mean, a cornerback with a foot injury, he's like one step, and maybe that was part of it. He's like one step from being, you know, questionable for 1 week. And if you try to force your way through it to being out for the rest of the season, if something were to happen. So you don't want to take a chance on that kind of an injury, a midfoot sprain or whatever it is. That's the thing. And their record with Hayden is 5-2-1. Mm-hmm. Without him, they're 0-3. And I know that there were other guys that missed games when he was out as well. But think about the guys that have been, and whether Hayward is ill because of COVID or not, think about all these guys. This COVID hasn't been like a, you know, hasn't swept through the entire team.
Yep.
But look at the guys that have missed games because of it. It's like they're best guys.
Jim, can you relate to Brian Kelly? He's a New Englander. He goes down to the South.
No.
He's around Cajun people, and all of a sudden he starts using their
Southern
way of
accents.
Yes, and you obviously come from a place with a very pronounced accent. Did you find yourself trying to talk in a Pittsburgh? No.
No.
The reason Jim can't relate to Kelly is because Jim is not a raging jackass like Brian Kelly and doesn't have to fake an accent to be liked.
You know what? I can't. I mean, I know that there are other reasons that people don't like the guy, and I've never liked Notre Dame to begin with. Brian Kelly. Well, I can't say this.
I know exactly what you're going to say. Brian Kelly.
Is it a practice report violation?
It's something far worse. He sent a kid in a scissor lift in a windstorm, and the kid died. That's why people hate him, because he's a bad person.
Right. No, that turned it for me. Now, the thing is, I'm never going to really root for Notre Dame. I would have when Djokovic was the quarterback. I was going to root for him. And I think there have been a couple of Pittsburgh, and there are some Pittsburgh kids that are going to Notre Dame. I do like. I hope it works out for Freeman by elevating the assistant, and that doesn't always work just because the players are in favor of a guy. But man, I am rooting for him, and I am rooting for Brian Kelly to just absolutely fall on his northern face in Baton Rouge because they're not going to tolerate any of this crap. And you know, losing, you lose two games at LSU, that's not the standard, to use that term. And he has a chance to – he's walking into a hornet's nest. And he can, you know what? But if he does what he kind of thinks he can do, which is to take all these great recruits that they have almost just automatically. And if he says, you know, hey, I can't wait to coach these guys, and he coaches them up and they, you know, they beat Alabama every year. Okay. Then I'll give him credit for it. But I've never forgiven him for the student manager. Oof. Never.
What's for dinner tonight?
I don't know.
Is it a liquid dinner?
No, so far it is. But actually, I am looking at chicken broth on the stove. So no, it's some kind of a chicken thing. We do have, however, cuties that Linda just came home. She
with the little oranges
on her way home. The mandarins, you know, those, or some people call them cuties.
Yeah, no, Lennox likes those. He's a big fan.
All right,
they're great.
We appreciate it. We'll be reading you at 93.7thefan.com after Steelers-Ravens on Sunday.
Cheers, buddy.
Oh, yeah. See ya.
Bye.
Bye now.
Jim Colony.
Is there a more universally disliked college football coach, really, outside of perhaps Baton Rouge than Brian Kelly? I mean, people don't like Urban Meyer. He was slimy when he was a college coach.
You know
coach.
What I never did get? Like, I think people, though, went so far to criticize him, like there were legitimate things, like what you're talking about, like the horrible tragedy with student manager. The one that Craig used to, because Craig is a Irish Catholic, mm-hmm. and
the cussing.
He would come in here and say, "I hated the way as Notre Dame's coach, he would swear at players."
I was like, I wanted to say,
"What the hell?"
There were two.
That's like the. That's every college football right. coach. That's every high school coach I've ever been around.
That's sort of like distilled perfectly how insane college football fans are. There's the scissor lift thing, and then there's another story about like that he covered up or his players bullied somebody into.
But ooh, he would say he would drop F-bombs as Notre Dame's
the
coach, and that was
like,
unbecoming of the Fighting Irish.
These two legitimately horrible incidents, well, we'll slough them off to the side. However, he used the number one swear word, and that is a bridge too far.
Donnie, would your high school football coach drop some F-bombs?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he definitely had his fair share.
I went to North Catholic, and all of my coaches would occasionally pepper the old language. By the way, unrelated to all of this, the Ron Cook long hair guy is taking off, and the weirdest part is the guy has only a handful of tweets, and one of them is about baseball card castle. And now I'm wondering if we've got like a Ron Cook deepfake on our hands.
It's the avatar of this guy is unbelievable.
Honestly, I might make it my picture. I might have to.
Donnie, what do you make of this guy?
I looked at it during the break and I thought it was hilarious.
Your description was perfect.
It's Ron Cook crossed with like Rob Ryan.
What did you say originally? Is if Cook had Trevor Lawrence's hair?
Yes.
That's precisely what it's. I love it. I can't stop looking at it.
I love it.
Follow us on Twitter at 93.7TheFan. You should put it out on the fan account. Driven by Jim Shorkey, Kia Wexler, North Huntington, Uniontown. Let all our listeners
and then the
judge
best
for
part
themselves.
Is the guy's name is Don, so it could be Don Cook.
Coming up next, we pick Steelers-Ravens, and then a special broadcast from the ACC championship game. Doran Dickerson and Paul Zeiss. It's headline time.